Welcome to Crypto Talk Radio, the podcast for everyday investors like you. Visit us on the web at cryptotalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Thank you for that, Bailey, and welcome everybody out there in Crypto Talk Radio, found at cryptotalkradio.net. The midnight oil has been burned. I had to pull an extended work session, so I will be doing a brief episode today for basic cryptonomics. Will not be spending significant time. I have a couple of topics, and then I've got a 101, quick 101. This will be short today. We will be doing it out of cycle a little bit later because something came to my attention I'm going to be covering. So I don't know exactly what that's going to be because there's a lot of chaos happening this week, but I'll do my best to try to slip it in. So we're going to jump right into what's going on. And as a separate note, side personal note, anybody that listens to the show that is curious about what's going on today, you know, the shifts in price and weirdness of Bitcoin, Ethereum not going up, you're not alone. Everything is weird. It's certainly unexpected. And I don't know that tariffs are even to blame anymore. It really feels more like manipulation, market manipulation by people who want to suppress the price, whether they want to suppress it for their own buy opportunity or they just don't want to succeed. That's how it feels like. I can't prove it, but everything is abnormal in the price movement, Ethereum in particular. None of it makes any long-term sense. There were some weird things like with Mantra OAM and things that might explain some of what's going on, you know, big wealthy people gambling, rolling the dice, but the scale is so unusual, I can't even say that that's the case. I will suggest personally that any opportunity to buy into some cryptocurrency is a good opportunity. That said, try not to buy at the highest prices because there's no reason to, frankly. So don't FOMO, in other words. Try to find discounts, you know, try to find spots where you can toss a little bit of money at some things. I do believe there will come a point where we're going to hit a saturation level and the price is going to have no choice but to skyrocket on a lot of this stuff. How long that'll take, though, is the question. Might not be in our lifetimes, and that's making people nervous, I understand. So I'll do the best I can. We'll chat through some topics. We'll chat through the price movement and then my 101, see where we go from there. Coindesk.com, we are going to start with Bitcoin. Over the past 24 hours, very little volatility, a low of just shy of 94,000, a high of just over 94,000, currently hovering 95, middling, not a lot of movement. And then if you zoom out to the month chart, you can see that it's basically a sideways. I would speculate that we might taper for a little bit longer, go a little bit down, and then go up again. It's my theory. It's all theoretical. I have no evidence because the lack of volatility to Bitcoin is very unusual to me, at least. Maybe others don't see it that weird. I see it weird. Meanwhile, Ethereum, over the past 24 hours, a low of 17.8, a high of 18.3, or just shy of 18.4, currently hovering around the 1800 mark. And Ethereum is also at that middling level. Ethereum, though, looks like a downward trend. Ethereum doesn't look like it's going to go up in the short term. It looks like it's going to back down. I don't know if it will, but it certainly looks like that it should. There is some news about Ethereum, or specifically the Ethereum Foundation, that being that they introduced a new leadership structure. This is Idiot Vitalik allegedly stepping back from some of the stuff. They're talking about taking away some of the centralization of the leadership structure, getting it to where it's a little bit more decentralized in the leadership, allowing the community to have a little bit more of a say in what goes on. Really, that the foundation would be for the health of the ecosystem rather than its oversight. How successful that's going to be, I have no idea. But things like things that Luna Classic sucks at, right? The management of projects and communications and strategy. Again, I don't know what the long-term benefit of it is, but because video, you know, Idiot's still in there, but it at least is progress towards something, maybe something big, who knows, but Ethereum's been damaged for a long time. I don't know if you've noticed, if you've done any trading on Ethereum, but the gas prices are all-time nothing, less than a dollar. Anybody remembers back in 2021, you know, gas prices are like $100 at points because it was nuts. Everything was just running, but at that time, it was proof of work, right? So when it goes proof of stake, the utilization just tanked, which killed the mining profits, by the way. So hopefully the leadership structure does yield some positive benefits for you and I. I'm just not sure that it will, but at least that's the plan. Separately, MasterCard launched a stablecoin payment support. Some people looked at this as bullish. I criticize it simply because it's MasterCard. MasterCard, if you don't know, they started implementing all this garbage where you have to enter a code for online transactions. If you walk into a store, it's fine. You can swipe it, it doesn't care. I'm talking online, they force you to enter a code to authorize the transaction. I don't like the code because, again, I understand what they're trying to do, which is to protect your card and protect your assets. And I don't mind if they email me the code, that's fine. But the text message sometimes doesn't show up, or sometimes it shows up late, or even if you enter the right code, sometimes it still declines. It's just a catastrophic nightmare. Meanwhile, the Amex works perfectly fine. It asks for a code, but it emails you the code. It always passes transaction. It's all clean. It's only MasterCard where I have this chaos. Visa was reasonably okay. It's MasterCard. It's all screwed up. So, you know, taking the anonymity of cryptocurrency and then tying it to this garbage of MasterCard and all these codes and all this KYC and all this garbage and starting with some of these central exchanges, I'm not a fan. I don't like dominance from MasterCard. I really wish that, you know, Discover would have stepped up because they're struggling and any opportunity for them to stand out in the crowd would have been a good thing, but you're dealing with incompetent leadership. So there's nothing really we can do. In the United Kingdom, they're moving to regulate cryptocurrency services, staking and stable coins, actually regulate them, legalize them, enable people to do it safely and confidently. It's expected sometime this quarter that they'll have some final rules about anybody who wants to offer cryptocurrency services in the UK, including custody services. And I love that the UK is leading the charge with something that the United States should have done a long time ago. I really do. I understand that Donald Trump is trying to do some stuff, but he's kind of dragging his feet because he was fighting the tariffs and fighting China and everything else. And so now here we are trying to play catch up where the international shores are winning the war on cryptocurrency adoption. And I do, the only thing I don't like is all KYC and anti-money laundering and all the other regs that we put in front of it that make it harder to spend and transact money. The one nice part, I guess, for these orgs is that they're not going to have to do a new registration for anti-money laundering. It'll reuse their existing registration that they've already been compliant with. The downside is that you and I will still have to go through the garbage KYC. Because the one thing they refuse to do, which I think they should do, is do the same thresholds that banks have for cash. You know, if your transaction is less than $10,000, no, we don't need to go through the extra hoops. You just whatever. If you're trading $100 of crypto, I shouldn't have to do the full KYC. By the way, speaking of this garbage, Zypto, Zypto, I covered that a while ago. Used to be French Connection Finance. My coverage of that's still up there if you want to check it out. But Zypto was the rebrand of FCF. They started offering a card for cryptocurrency spend. So I applied. Now, I'm going to strongly recommend that you don't get into this crap. Okay, because they don't have any control of any part of the process. They take your application, they take all your docs, they take your ID, they take all this crap, and then they send it over to their bank. Their bank could still kick it back. So when I sent mine, knowing that there's nothing wrong with identity or anything, they came back and said, oh, well, the bank already has your phone number on file, so we can't use that phone. Do you have a different cell phone number? And no, I don't. The number that was used is not a cell phone per se, but it can receive, you know, mobile messages if it had to, this particular number. But it's all the number we have. It's not like you have like two or three cell phones. No. And I don't know why the bank would have the existing number on file. I'm assuming it's because of a different crypto card, like Coinbase card maybe. I don't remember what bank was behind that one. But the point is that Zypto is completely powerless and helpless when this happens. And so I told him, screw you, kick rocks, take your card and shove it up your ass, because I was not going to jump through hoops for this type of thing. It should simply be a straight up issue of the card. Coinbase just straight issued the freaking card. Robinhood straight up issued the freaking card. There's no excuse at this point for the kind of garbage I was being subject to. And I was not going to play the game. So I'm going to recommend you don't get into Zypto. It's up to you what you do with your cash, but I'm going to recommend you avoid Zypto at all costs. because of that nonsense. It's, again, once again, completely and emphatically up to you what you do. That rhymes. Now, we'll wrap up. I told you it's going to be short, quick and short. We'll wrap up with our 101. The 101 is an interesting topic. Some people were curious, and I figured I would go ahead and take my stab at it. Others may completely disagree with me and what I describe, but it's going off of what I see. So I don't see any reason that it is wrong. It may be interpreted a little bit differently, but it is what it is. You might have been listening to some YouTubers out there, and some of them may have been talking about something referred to as a CME gap. CME gap. And you've wondered, what the hell is a CME gap? And you've wondered, what can I do with the CME gap? You've wondered, how can it benefit you? I'm going to simplify the definition of CME gap first. Then I'll talk about what its intent is, what it's intended to be used for, and then kind of go from there. Okay. First, let's talk about CME. CME stands for Chicago Mercantile Exchange. CME, the simplest definition I can give you, is an exchange for commodities trading. They used to deal mostly in agricultural. They branched out into other types of commodities, and Bitcoin is one of these. And what people do on this exchange is they trade futures. Part of the problem is cryptocurrency trading is 24/7. If you trade on a central exchange or a decentralized exchange, they are 24/7. The price is constantly shifting and moving at all times. Regardless, the traditional stock market, bonds, you know, your Fidelity, your TD Ameritrade of old, Orange, Square Trade, those brokerages and traditional trading have always been largely bankers' hours. Some of these, like futures trades and commodities trades exchanges, have gone a little bit more extended, but for the most part, they avoid the weekend because, of course, banks are closed on the weekend. Well, the CME gap, the irony of the CME gap is that it is created by this gap in price movement tracking. The price of Bitcoin is constantly moving regardless 24/7. The commodities trading does not occur on the weekend, specifically Saturday, but certainly the weekend overall does not occur. So now you have a gap in the expected price that you will see because of what's happening, because a lot of the traffic that you'll see and a lot of the price movement that's being initiated is coming from the futures trades, liquidations, but also new trades and profits. So when traders that you might see observe a CME gap, one of two things is almost guaranteed to happen. Not every time, but almost guaranteed to happen. The gap can be facing upward. So it can be a trend upward, or it can be facing downward. If it's facing downward, the expectation is it's going to be a bearish trend, possibly, not always. And conversely, if it's going up, that means there's an opportunity, no matter what. Sometimes the traders will look at those gaps, predict where it's going to go, and make a trade. So you might say, okay, it looks like it's going to go down. I'm going to short this, so I can profit off the down that I know is going to be there based on the fact that the gap is pointing that direction. It looks like it's going to go down. And if I short it, you're making money on the shorts. And you'll hear a lot of them say, I'm about to short Bitcoin. That's because they see a predictable pattern using the CME as a guide telling them that it's going to go down, and thus there's an opportunity to short it. For more information about the shorting strategies, the longing strategies, etc., if you're on a central exchange, I'm sure they have some section that will explain it for you. I don't want to bore you here. Suffice to say, the CME gap is simply another indicator, effectively. It is the gap in trading. It's the gap in the visual. It's the gap in the chart. It's where you see that there's a gap in where the price should be going. And it's because we have a gap of information, because certain of these transactions are not taking place during this very specific period of time. Whereas the price of the actual asset is still moving 24/7, you still have on these trading gauges this gap of information that is predictive. You can use it to identify where the price is going to go and then make a trade strategy that follows that direction, whether it's shorting it on the way down or longing it on the way up, etc. You can also, and this is not spot I refer to, I'm simply saying that there's ways that you can exploit this movement using leverage positions to maximize how much money you can make on the way up or down. Do they happen all the time? No, but when they do happen, they're pretty obvious and apparent, and many traders like to take advantage of those as part of their gambling strategy. This is something that you might consider doing. It's up to you. I just wanted to explain at a high level in my own words what it effectively is and what it does and how it can benefit you if you use it correctly. Gamble responsibly, don't FOMO, is all I can really tell you there. Lastly, in closing, as I wrap up, told you it'd be super, super short today. In closing, we have a long way to go before we see some of the other tokens other than Bitcoin get back to their all-time greats. We need some of the money that's currently in Bitcoin to flow back the other direction. That hasn't happened yet. The reason it hasn't happened is still unknown, but we still need to have it happen. So be aware, it's going to take some time before we get to that point, but once we do get there, the expectation is that many of the prices of these tokens is going to be even higher than what it was before. And if it is higher than what it is before, then you're going to see some of the garbage out there that's paired to some of those also skyrocket. So some people might be sitting on stuff that's going to make them a lot of money. Do I think people are going to be made millionaires? No, but it depends. Depends on what they junked into. It's possible. Everything's possible in cryptocurrency, certainly. Last but not least, certainly not least, you're never too late to buy into cryptocurrency. And I want to stress that. I said don't buy at the top, certainly look for discounts, but you're never too late to buy into cryptocurrency, but you are beyond the point of being a millionaire overnight. So you do have to measure your, you know, expectations and make sure you're being realistic about it. Don't expect to be made a millionaire, but you are able to make some money. That's always available to you if you want it, and you just have to go after it. So it's up to you. Nothing says that you have to do that. Nothing says that it's a problem or whatnot. Just be mindful. These are things that you want to keep in mind, that you're never too late to get in. Keep looking for discounts if you do get in. And if you're stressing for money, I would stay away from it, because you should not put money that you cannot afford to lose. Your situation, your financial situation, should always stay first. Don't spend what you don't have. Simple. But if you do have some spare, you know, a spare $100, say, that you can live without, I see no reason why you should not buy into some cryptocurrency. As for which cryptocurrency, you got to make that choice for yourself. But as long as you stick with the mains, you can't really go wrong, frankly, because all of them are going to have their ups and downs. Bitcoin very recently had a little bit of a run that gave some profit. And then you have to train yourself to take profits, because there's no reason to sit on it. You're not going to be made a millionaire overnight anymore. What you do with your cash is what you do with your cash. I'm just telling you straight up. You're not going to be made a millionaire like in the old days. Those days are gone. But the opportunity for profit is absolutely there, front center. And in an era where the value of your dollar is steadily decreasing, any opportunity to make some money on the side, I think, is a good thing and something to truly keep in mind for the future.